Hello to everybody, whenever and wherever you are worshiping. Welcome to this joint service of worship with us, and thank you for sharing this time of worship with us. We're going to do our usual round robin of what's happening in the different congregations. And first, we're going to hear from Sheila Mitchell in Echt and Midmar.
Hello to everybody joining us. A very quick word from Echt and Midmar. Firstly, to say that along with many other churches, next week, of course, will be Christian Aid Sunday, and we'll be marking the work of Christian Aid and giving thanks for all their activity around the world in many places. After worship, which will be in Echt next Sunday, we'll be holding a soup and sweet lunch to which everybody is invited to come along. Then looking ahead, there will be more information coming, but our service on the 29th of this month in Echt will be joint worship between all our congregations. So we look forward to welcoming people to Echt on the 29th. And it's over to Stella in Blair Duff and Chapel of Giri.
Hello and welcome to everyone here. And just like to reiterate that welcome to Echt, because we'll be closing all the other churches and truly joining in the Benihi Churches Together group, and that will be a fantastic service. Not too much to report in Blair Duff and Chapel of Giri, other than we're trying to tend to plants for our plant sale on the 28th of May, where we'll have a coffee morning and sale there. So now over to the other Sheila in Kemney.
Good morning to everyone. Again, in Kemney, we are thinking about our Christian Aid work and raising funds. And do remember to support Suzanne with her quilt walk. And there is a page online that you can join and donate, we hope, lots of money to support Suzanne. We have a busy church centre, and could I put a plea for any cleaner to help us on a Friday afternoon or a Monday? A contract cleaner could be paid. We'd be very happy to have that support. And in addition to that, Loaves and Fishes are looking for somebody to do a Monday morning shop for the centre. And that would be in Aldi to get the cheapest bargains for everybody. And we would very much appreciate a volunteer to help with that. But meantime, I pass this to Tozi in Kintore.
Thank you. Good morning to everyone. In Kintore, I have got just one announcement. If there are more announcements new, we'll add on that. Our Christian Aid Sunday is going to take place on the 15th of May, this month, next Sunday. That's the announcement which I have. Now hand over to you in Cluny and Monimask.
Thank you, Tozi. And I'm sure to Sheila Simpson, I would probably just say other supermarkets are available so that we're not pushing just Aldi. I'm saying that because my son works in another one. A few intimations from us. Today we're actually having our first formal communion service since lockdown. And we're looking forward to that. And it's actually a joint one. We've never done one between both congregations. So hopefully that goes well today. Next Sunday, we're looking to welcome Tozi, who's coming to visit us to lead our worship. So that's something that the folk are, I have to say, quite excited for, Tozi. They haven't believed me when I said how tall you are, so they want to see you in person. And so that'll be next the next Sunday. And then on the 22nd, we will have a new member joining Monimask through Public Profession. So we always look forward to that. Mainly music continues during the week as usual, and I'm actually helping this week coming, so I'm looking forward to that, and also the fine pieces that they get after my work is done. I think that's all, so I'm going to pass you back now to Neil.
Thank you very much, Ewan, and thank you, everybody. Last announcement just from Kintore is to say that this Sunday is also our Messy Church Sunday, so 3:30 in the church. If you are part of a family or part of a church family, you're very welcome to join us. It's always lots of fun, and we end with a meal together, which is super. So you will have your tea before you head off home. That starts at 3:30 at the church. And now we go back to worship. So this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice together and be glad in it.
Morning, everyone. Just if anyone's not sure who I am, I'm Will Buchan. I'm a member here, and I'll be leading us this morning. So firstly, welcome everybody who's here. It's great to see you all. Welcome to anyone who's watching in Littlewood Court, and also to anybody who's watching us online at the moment as well. We have a few announcements. Firstly, I would say that we've started the Bible study back up again on a Monday evening on Teams. Hopefully we'll be able to do this in person at some point, but we'll remain on Teams at the moment. So if you'd like to be involved in that at all and join us, speak to myself or speak to David Bale over there. David, can you put your hand up so everyone can see you? There we go. Bit of public shame, it's always good. Also, Helen's got an announcement about Christian Aid Week, so come on up, Helen,
thanks. Thanks. Morning, folks. Just a reminder of what's coming up in Kemney for our Christian Aid fundraising. On Saturday, the 21st of May, we've got a table sale in the church centre. You can hire a table and sell your own items if you wish. The church will have tables selling plants and home bakes and crafts, and we'll also have a raffle. So we're looking for donations of plants, home bakes, and raffle prizes. But most important, we're looking for donations of people to man the stall. This won't work. It won't do much for us if we don't have the folks to help run it. So please, you might be accosted at the door as you leave by Muriel or Ishbel with a clipboard. But please, if you could donate some of your time on the Saturday morning to help out, that would be fantastic. Thank you. We've not got any bric-a-brac this year, I'm afraid, so no clearing out your cupboards, which was my favourite part, I must say. So that's Saturday, the 21st of May. On the following Friday, we have Paradise Express, a local band coming to entertain us at the church centre. That's at 7 p.m. in the evening, and there are tickets available from Muriel or Ishbel if you would like to come along to that. Suzanne, of course, is doing the Kilt Walk, 25 brave miles through the streets of Aberdeen and the parks around. So she really would appreciate some sponsor money and sponsorship for that. All proceeds going to Christian Aid, with the Hunter Foundation bumping that up by 50%, which is amazing. This has to be donated online, but if you're not very keen at donating online, then please just hand the money to Suzanne or myself, or pop it into Loaves and Fishes, and we'll do the donation online for you. Would be lovely, thank you. All the details of everything that we've got going on are on the church website. There's a Christian Aid tab at the top of the welcome page, and if you click on that, you'll get all the information. But please think prayerfully about helping us out on Saturday at the table sale on the 21st. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Helen. So our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 100, and it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It's he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." So this psalm speaks for itself, and I'm not going to try to add anything to it. I wouldn't want to. So let's keep the words of the psalm in our heads this morning as we join in worship together as we sing now.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the freedom that we have to gather together as your people to worship in spirit and truth. Let's never take this for granted and continue to remind us how important and wonderful it is to be together in your presence. We pray for healing for Dot's hand, and we give thanks for the gift that she has, that's such a blessing to us to play the organ. We also bring Josh, Heather, and Cameron before you now. And we give you thanks for Josh's leadership over the years, and we ask that they will know your presence and continue to look to you. Help us as our brothers and sisters in Christ to support them in any way we can, because we're all family through the blood of Christ. And as families are to pray together, we in union say the words that you taught us to say together now, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So we now are going to have Martin come up and give us our children's talk.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Martin, and some of you other ones may know me as Joshua and Lewis's dad, and they're going to join me today. And I was wondering, is there any other children who would like to come up for story time? I see you there, Matthew. You want to come down? Oh, stage fright. Okay. All right. I'm lazy, so I'm going to sit. Okay. Boys, you want to take a seat as well? Today, I'm going to be doing a poem. You know what a poem is? What's a poem?
It's something people write, then read.
Yeah. There we go. We'll go with that. And it doesn't need to rhyme, though, does it?
Yeah.
No. Today, I'm going to be doing one of my favorite poems. And it's a poem that's helped me a lot in times. And it's called Footprints in the Sand. Now, we don't know who the offer is, because there's many people that have contested being the offer, but there's many similar poems to this one. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene I noticed, two sets of footprints were in the sand, one belonging to me and one belonging to my Lord. So can you think of some nice scenes that have been in your life? What's your favourite scenes? One of mine was my wedding day when I married your mummy. And another one was when you were both born. You got one?
When I first tasted marshmallows.
Okay. Is there any memorable scenes from your life?
Two. My last year from my birthday, today, yesterday, and the day before, because Mum's not here and Dad doesn't listen to the rules.
Shh. We're on camera. Mum can see this, okay? After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially at the lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you most, you would leave me. That's sad, isn't it? Do you think God left him during those hard times?
No.
No? So why was there only one set of footprints?
Because it's his and God's in the air.
That's interesting. You any ideas? No? Will I tell you the last part, will I? He whispered, "My precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever during your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." So during those hard times, God carried him. And the sort of idea behind this, saying this poem to you guys today is, you know, we've all been through a lot of hard times. Can you think of the hard times that we've been through lately?
Pandemic.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, cleaning the garage. Okay. We all have to remember that God is there when we are sad and feel a little down and a little weak. And we can turn to God in prayer and ask him to carry us during those hard times. And I think that's an important lesson to remember, isn't it? Yeah. But also, during the hard times, we've also got our friends and our family and all our church family here as well. Yes, our church family. Thank you for the... And we can also turn to each other too, because we're all in this together, yeah? So I'd like to say thank you to my two helpers here. Helpers, yeah? And thank you guys.
Yeah, boy.
Right, we're going to sing a children's song now. Now, last time we did this in church, it was a first. First time we've had bubbles in church. You remember it? I think it was Suzanne was up in the gallery here and she was pouring bubbles out all over everybody. Unfortunately, there are no bubbles today. So you're just going to have to sing really loud. Okay.
Since I came to Jesus, and my heaven made a star, my cup is running over, there's music in my heart. It's bubbling in my soul, the
first reading this morning is taken from Matthew 22, verses 36 to 39. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. The second reading this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Unity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. May God bless to us this reading of his holy word.
Thanks, Ishbel. That was great. So a little bit of what Martin said kind of ties in with what I'm about to say, so it's probably God working in that. Let's be honest, we're going through tough times in the Church of Scotland at the moment. Most of us will have read the draft presbytery plan. Whatever we think of what we read, God will still build his church. Whatever the reasons are that the Church of Scotland is in this position, God's still going to build his church. Whatever the end result of the presbytery planning process is, God will still build his church. Regardless of anything that goes on in the world, God will still build his church. So let's just be clear and be grateful to God for that to begin with. So what is the church? A clue is, it's not the building we're in right now. The word church, if some aren't sure where it comes from, is from the Greek word ecclesia. And that means a called out gathering or congregation. That's a gathering of those whom God has called out, God's people. And it's not defined by where God's people gather. Church buildings within the Church of Scotland, some of them are going to be closed down in time. We know that. But God's still going to build his church. And it's all right to feel some sadness that, you know, these church buildings have been around for some a few hundred years. And there's been lots of memories being made in those churches. But the question for us right now is, as Kemney Parish Church, is how are we going to respond to the circumstances that we find ourselves in? How are we going to respond when the tough times come, which they will be, and we can see them coming? But how we respond is going to be determined by where we look to for guidance in how to live. And if we're Christians, there's only one place we can look to, and it's right here in the Word of God. This is where we go for how to know how to respond in any situation. And I'd suggest that we all respond in love and we act in unity. So to go back to basics, I'm going to start with a question I was asked. I was at TECA, the new exhibition centre, a few weeks ago. And I was at an awards dinner, so the company I work for was up for an award, and we had some partner companies with us at the table too. And the host of the evening announced she was going to say a grace before we were served our starters. So everybody at the table pointed to me and said, oh, you should go and do it, because they all know I'm a Christian. I don't hide that. And it does open up for some really interesting chat with folks. So that leads to the question I was asked after the grace was said, and it was kind of weird in and of itself, because I'm thinking, who are we actually giving thanks to for this, because it wasn't God, but there we go, that's a secular society. Anyway, The guy, he's called Jim, he's a really nice chap. He's, I like him a lot. And he said to me, well, what does it mean to be a Christian? So this is sometimes the kind of chat I've had with him in the past. So I just said, well, that's a very good question, Jim. I'm glad you asked it. I said, it's easy to describe it, but it's difficult to live it out. And I said to him, Jesus said in what we call the New Testament, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So I said, that's a slight paraphrase of Matthew 22 that we've just had a look at. Where one of the Pharisees asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? So we continued on talking about what it means to live this out and how we should be treating one another. And something I've found over the years is that if you're open about your faith and you speak with a bit of humility and you listen to what people say back, you can have some really cracking conversations. So Jim asking me this question has stayed in my head since he asked me. And I've been thinking about it a lot, about what it means to live this out. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your souls, all your minds, and to love your neighbour as yourself. Especially given where we are in the Church of Scotland right now. Like I said at the start with the whole presbytery planning process. But I love these two verses because it's a starting point from which we approach everything in our lives. Christianity, by definition, is to follow Christ. And to follow Christ is an action. So Christianity also, by definition, is not something that remains as a theory or a concept. Why? Well, God's not a theory or a concept. Christ on the cross was not a theory or a concept. It was an irrefutable fact. First line of Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We know God created the world and everything in it, including us, so we can be in relationship with him and one another. So if we really, really get this, and through the Holy Spirit living and working in us, it's impossible for us to sit still. The life God has graciously given us is for living. So how do we live? Well, we begin by loving the Lord our God with all our hearts, all our souls, and all our minds, and loving our neighbours as ourselves. It's easy to do this in the good times than the tough times. If you want to know more about how we can worship God in the tough times, go and read the book of Job. You can do it in an hour. Also, take solace in the fact that Christ loves you so much he was willing and did die on the cross an excruciating death for us. So we have the freedom to be in right relationship with God. We've just been looking at this over the course of Easter, and that, brothers and sisters, is the greatest act of love there will ever be, bar none. So we have the framework for how to approach life, and it's God first, others second, then ourselves. So when we think about the presbytery planning process and we wonder why the Church of Scotland is in the position it's in, which I'm sure we all have at some point, and you know, let's be real about it. I know there are lots of feelings of dismay and disappointment, sadness. The question we have to ask ourselves and do pray about it is, in this situation, how do we love the Lord our God with all our hearts, all our souls, and all our minds? And how do we love our neighbour as ourselves? And this is real life, and it's going to look a little different for all of us. But if we genuinely ask this question, it's going to open us up to discerning the will of God in our lives. And one thing that I guarantee is that it will allow us to foster a spirit of unity in the church. And remember, I'm talking about the body of believers. I'm not talking about this building, as lovely as it is. It's going to allow us to foster a spirit of unity because we're all putting God first, others second, then ourselves. If we put ourselves first or second, we're never going to find unity. in Christ, because then he's not the focus. He's not the focal point of where we stand and position ourselves in the world. So we've now looked at how to act individually as Christians. We now need to think about how we act in unity as the body of Christ, lived out as Kemeny Parish Church. So a great place to start is Ephesians 4, 1-6. So let's get into the text a little bit. So Paul's writing this from jail. Let's just be clear about the context from which he's written. And despite being in jail, he could have let his actions be defined by feelings of frustration and anxiety, upset, uncertainty. And some of us might be able to relate to these feelings when we think about what the future of the church is or isn't going to look like, but he didn't respond in that vein. He knew what was important. He didn't let the circumstances dictate how he was going to move forward. He knew the importance of God building his church is more important than where he found himself in that given situation. That's why he can say in verse 1, "I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called." So what does that mean? Well, what's our calling? We've heard it already. Our calling is to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, all our soul, with all our strength, and to love our neighbours as ourselves. Because living this way doesn't put our own needs or opinions first. That's to walk through the wide gate that Matthew 7 talks about, the gate that leads to destruction. To walk through the narrow gate is much more costly to us. Walking with Jesus is a costly business. Like I said earlier, we've not long come out of the Easter season, and we know where Jesus walked, and that was to his death, but also to his glorious resurrection. The narrow gate also makes us walk in verse 2 that says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." It's a lot more difficult to act that way in times of trouble. But this is a way we can remain united in the times to come. Another verse that we should probably pick up here is what I would say is a great leveler, and that's Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And this verse is going to stamp out any sense of pride, and it's going to replace it with love. So let's continue to be intentional in approaching each other with humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another in love. And to be honest, I think we do pretty well at that right now. I've said before from up here, I intentionally call you brothers and sisters because that's what we are. We're family, and I thank God that we have this family. And families are meant to be together. And I can see COVID's hit the numbers that we have on a Sunday. You know, it's not just us. There's so many churches that have that problem. And if your health would allow and you're able to do so, come back and worship with us. Jim, you were on the money last week with what you said. I just wanted to pick up on that a little bit. Talking about being together in worship. And I'm grateful for what you said because I think it had an impact on a lot of us. You might have noticed when the worship group played the last song that we would normally exit the church to, pretty much everybody stayed. Why was that? Because we all wanted to continue to worship God. Hallelujah. For me, that was just a really profound experience that I've maybe not had here in quite a while. I would say it was categorical proof that the body of Christ intentionally wanted to remain in a place of worship and unity. And it was completely organic and spirit-led. It was a five-minute microcosm, I would say, of where we should be as a church. And that's where we need to be in this uncertain times. United as the body of Christ, united with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ by the Holy Spirit, worshipping the risen Christ. Whether we realized it or not, we were actually living out verse 3 of Ephesians 4, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. We all wanted to stay in worship. We could have all walked out, but we didn't. God held us there together, united in the Spirit, just a little bit longer, and it was a great thing. Anyone who was here last week, did you experience the peace in that moment? You don't need to put your hands up, but just have a think about it. I did. And also, when the song was finished too, peace of the Lord was with us last Sunday. And that's something that we should never forget. So then look at verse 4. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. You see the overarching theme of unity in here. Aren't you glad that there's one body, one Spirit, and one hope? And that is, yes, a rhetorical question. We're united as one body. Let's think about just how amazing that actually is. And I'll pick up on briefly Galatians 3:28 that says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. There's no male and female, for you are all one in Christ. Don't listen to people who want to split us into categories of race or gender or ethnicities and so on. And I've seen it in various parts of churches. And it's just nothing but destructive, because it intentionally takes the focus off of Christ. And it's basically saying Christ and him crucified isn't enough. That's not enough for us to be one body. We need to categorize further. The fact is, we're all bought with a price, and that's 1 Corinthians 6:20. We're now children of God. God doesn't have favorites amongst his children. He doesn't love some of us more than others. He loves us all the same. So why would we then categorize ourselves or place ourselves in man-made hierarchies that's going to end up in a jostle for power and influence and all these other things? And that's idolatry, and it's got no place in the church. But also, I don't think we're like that here, which is bang on. So, why are we not like that? Well, verses 5 and 6. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That means we're all one in the body of Christ. So unity is of absolute importance. Unity is where I said at the start, God's going to build his church, regardless of what goes on in the world. So if God's over all, through all, and in all, we can trust without exception that he's going to equip us to be ready for whatever comes. What we have to do is love him with all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds, and love our neighbours as ourselves. And we will see a unified Kemeny Parish Church ready to move forward with whatever the future looks like. I'll finish up with the words of the great hymn We Have an Anchor, which was written around 140 years ago, but it's absolutely relevant for us today, not just in terms of how we respond to where we find ourselves in the Church of Scotland right now, but for every aspect of our lives. And it starts with, will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tide lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? So that's the question we have to ask ourselves. Will our anchor hold? But if we look to the chorus, we can take great solace in the fact that we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Amen to that. Who's with me? Jim is. Good. And if we can truly grasp these facts as we go, it's going to help us live out the verses that we've been looking at today. And if we can live these verses out, we're going to see the healing of hurts, we're going to see softening of hearts, and we will walk the narrow path in unity as the body of Christ, supporting and encouraging one another. Sorry, it's just a bit real. So, let's play our part in building God's church for his purposes and glory, and whatever that looks like in the future. Amen. So we're now going to sing that song, Will Your Anchor Hold? Let's pray. Lord, we mourn and grieve for the loss of life in Ukraine, both Ukrainian lives and Russian lives, and we ask for the war to be over. We ask for forgiveness and reconciliation on both sides, as you forgave us for our iniquities and brought us into relationship with you. We ask this of all those involved in and affected by the war. Let your church globally be the light that shines in the darkness and point people to you. We pray for the persecuted church across the globe. We ask that you continue to give them strength, and we take courage from the examples that we hear of, where they will not renounce their faith in you. Bless them and keep them all, Lord. We bring to you all the migrants who continue to cross the channel. We pray that our government will act wisely to look after them as best as possible and treat them with dignity and respect, remembering that they're born in the image of God. And we pray for guidance as your church to do what we can also. We've just had local council elections, and we pray for those on our councils that they will serve their areas well. And we ask this of all of them, whether we voted for them or not. And finally, we pray for our leaders in government and opposition. We pray that they'll look to you in how to act towards one another and how to best work together for the good of our country and all who live here. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're now going to have our final song, which is Sing to the Lord, so please stand. Let's always remember that the order of our lives is God first, others second, and ourselves last. And with that in mind, let's be intentionally united, as Paul tells us to be in Ephesians, as we move forward together as Christ's church. Love each other, look after each other, and support each other, with our focus on Christ, and we will move forward into whatever the future holds for our church. As a united church of Christ. Amen.
Let's sing it.